Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Thanks so much, by the way, for all your texts and comments coming in the first hour. We'll get to those, of course, as you know, as the morning progresses. It is a Tuesday. It feels a bit strange for us. It's the start of the week, but it is Tuesday, which means that we have Community Garda information coming up for you very shortly, where we bring you the latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána Síochána first here on the 9 till noon show. And as with everything on the programme, you can watch that item as well by going on to our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, on X, on Twitter and across Facebook. Great day out in Dublin yesterday, pro-life and a huge turnout for the new nationalist populist parties went off peacefully, which you'd hope it would, wouldn't you? Huge crowd. I know you don't want to mention this, but the Great Awakening has started. It kind of frustrates me a little bit when people say things like, I know you don't want to mention it. We were going so well with the text because I was mentioning it as it came in. I don't pre-read these as such. Why wouldn't we mention it? It's a collection of people demonstrating on something that's important to them. Greg, there are towns unrecognisable now. It's like being in a foreign country, believes the listener. Another caller says, isn't it strange that the majority of Ukrainian refugees are sent as far away from Dublin as possible? Donegal and Kerry are just, well, they say dumping grounds, but these are human beings fleeing a war. But I take your point. The terminology is, well, I might avoid it, but sure. If you look at the map, a shaded map, the West Coast is just like a dark colour. The Midlands is very, very bright. And Southeast, very few in comparison to the West Coast. It would be another tourism area. So maybe they did target areas with high levels of vacancies in the winter. I don't know. Because the government want to change the voting patterns in Donegal, Ukrainians will vote for Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil to stay here. People have said that before, that, you know, the people, because of course you don't have to be an Irish citizen to vote in the local or the local elections, and that this might favour the government. I'm not really quite sure that it might, to be honest with you. I'm not saying the number is so insignificant that it wouldn't alter things. Perhaps it would, but I don't necessarily see those votes going towards the government as such. I don't know what you guys think out there. I mean, you know, as I say, there are a lot of people, if they want to vote, they can vote now. The population of Donegal has grown dramatically, and all of those people, if they register, are entitled to vote. I mean, which political party or individual might they vote for? Do you really think it's Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael? I don't know. Will they be specifically targeted? Will some people perhaps have a better in than others in targeting them? I really don't know the answers to that, but I don't think it's a given, and it's only my opinion. I don't think it's a given that the international protection applicants and Ukrainian refugees being able to vote favours Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens. But that's just my feeling. I really want to hear what you guys have to say as well. 086 60 25,000, friends. That's the number to get in touch with us. Lynn was on from Ahayarn. Lynn, you'll get the Garton clay from the Friel family that live in Garton. So that's as much information as we have on that just at the moment. I was in the emergency department in Letterkenny on Sunday. There were psychiatric patients in the emergency department. I was told that they'd been waiting there since Thursday. It's an absolute disgrace that psychiatric patients have to go through the ED. It is so scary for older people and children. The sooner St. Connell's opens again, the better, says the listener. The nurses and doctors were amazing and they were trying their best. There wasn't room to faint in the ED. The staff couldn't be nicer, but something needs to be done about how busy they are. What can be done, though? The roads, more ramps are not the solution. Driver education is. Yeah, the ramps are popping up all over the place, aren't they? That lady mentioned that people are speeding. It is driving error. They need to slow down. It is not the road that is unsafe. People just drive too fast. Okay, so let's meet in the middle and say, right, maybe you're correct there, and you're as correct as anyone. But perhaps maybe it is signage that's needed. Back with more after these.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 912-6025.
You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show on this Tuesday morning. It's 10:13 on the 7th of May, and it's time for this week's Community Garda information. And in studio with me today is Garda Claire Rafferty from the Milford Garda Station. Good morning, Claire.
Morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for calling down to us. Okay, some information on the way, but first let's start with some appeals. And unfortunately, another... religious area has been targeted, a place of faith, and this is the Chapel of Ease in Fann. What happened here?
Yeah, so we're investigating a theft incident that occurred at the Chapel of Ease in Fann last Monday, the 29th of April, between 9:15 a.m. and 8 p.m. So two candle donation boxes were damaged between those times. So we appeal to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity in the area around the chapel that day to make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana. Their number there is 074-932-0540. And if anyone can assist with any relevant information, we ask them to contact us, and the Garda confidential line can be reached on 1-800-666-111 as well.
And unfortunately, going to Dunloe, where there was damage to St. Corona's Church.
Yeah, similar incident here. So we're appealing for information. It's criminal damage in this respect. It happened at St. Cronus Church, Chapel Road, Dunloe, last Tuesday, the 30th of April, between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. There was an attempt made to force open a security box, which is located in the sacristy. The opening to the security box is located on the interior wall of the church, and that's where the attempt was made and the damage was caused to the box, but thankfully nothing was stolen. So if anyone observed any suspicious people or activity in that area last Tuesday, or if anyone has any relevant information, we'd like to hear from you in Milford on 074-915-3060.
Now, of course, it's up to each parish or whomever is responsible to look at security in any given place. But, I mean, these are places that are often open and available to the public. That's the nature of them, for people to go in and pray or what have you. It's really unfortunate, Claire, isn't it, that we might find ourselves being forced to review security in, you know, places of peace, places of worship.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, is right. And as you say, it's the nature of them. They're open to the public, so the public can access them whenever it suits them. So it's a place people go for privacy too. So it's not something we want to have to do. But look, if this continues happening,
who's to say what decisions they might make? And of course, look, throughout these items on this programme, and there's more to come, and there'll be more next week and the week after and so on, the Gardaí really are hoping that the public are the eyes and ears as well to see what's going on. And if you are aghast at people targeting the likes of the Chapel of Ease in Fann or St. Cronus Church in Dunloe, and you're in and around places like these, keep your eyes and ears peeled, because that is perhaps the way this can be stopped without these places ending up being, you know, level one security or something, which I don't think anyone wants. Gardaí also in Letterkenny now investigating a road traffic collision, Claire.
Yeah, so this is between two cars that occurred at Glencar Scotch Letterkenny on Saturday gone there, the 4th of May, at approximately 5:20 p.m. Both cars were travelling from the direction of Glencar towards Killylassen at the time of the collision. One of the drivers didn't remain at the scene. So we're seeking any dash cam footage from any road users who travelled in that area between 5 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. You know, it would have been a busy enough time of day. If anyone witnessed this collision, we would ask them to contact us in Letterkenny on 074-916-7100. It's good to remember that an independent witness is always very helpful for these kind of things. So even if you weren't involved in it, if you've seen it, we'd ask you to make contact with us.
Okay. Now, your colleagues further south in the county investigating a collision on what would be the old Ballyshannon to Bundoran road there at Finner.
Yeah, so this one happened yesterday, Monday the 6th of May, shortly before 6:30 p.m. on the R267 at Finner Bundoran, just outside Finner Camp, actually. So the driver of the car has been taken to hospital to receive treatment for serious but non-life-threatening injuries. So we're appealing for anyone who may have witnessed the collision to contact us. We also appeal to anyone who travelled on that route around that time with a dash cam to make the footage available to us. So Ballyshannon Gardaí can be contacted on 071 985 8530.
Now, criminal damage being investigated in the Killigordon area.
So this occurred in Forest Park, Killigordon, between midday last Wednesday, the 1st of May, and midday Friday, the 3rd of May. A car that had been parked outside the property at that location was damaged between those dates. The paintwork on both sides of the car had been scraped. You know, that suggests this wasn't an accident when both sides of the car were done. So we are asking anyone who witnessed the incident or if they can assist with any information to make contact with Letterkenny Gardaí, 074-916-7100.
Now, a theft in Stranraer being investigated.
Yeah, so we're investigating this that occurred on Friday the 3rd of May in Stranraer. Two young men aged in their early 20s, approximately, got a taxi from Letterkenny to the Twin Towns. And when the taxi stopped at the bridge between Balbuffet and Stranraer at approximately 8:35 a.m, they got out and fled on foot in the direction of Stranraer without paying the fare. So we're appealing to anyone who may have been in the area with a dash cam to make the footage available to us. The streets would have been relatively quiet and empty around that time of the morning, so it would have been easy to spot these two men on foot, and especially if they were running away. So we ask anyone who may have seen them to make contact with Gardaí and Letterkenny. Again, the number is 074-916-7100.
Maybe there's a rush of blood to their head either. I mean, we're a small enough community. They may end up being spotted by that taxi driver again. I'm sure it could be resolved if they were to come forward one way or other.
Absolutely. Look, this man deserves to be paid. He's doing his job. That's the long and short of it.
Yep. So he's out of town for quite some time, early in the morning too. Okay. The roads are busier. We're seeing different types of traffic. We noticed that over the bank holiday weekend. People are dusting off their camper vans and their bicycles and their motorbikes as well. And there's a specific bit of advice for motorcyclists, Claire.
Yeah, we want to just have a wee mention for motorcycle safety. As you said, from this time of year onwards, we're likely to see an increase in the volume of traffic and particular motorcycles on the road. So we're urging motorcyclists to always think safety first. We ask all motorcyclists to complete safety checks on their motorcycles before setting out on their journey and to wear suitable protective clothing and a helmet that is fitted correctly and meets the EU safety standards. And it's also very important to urge all drivers to constantly be on the lookout for motorcyclists in their blind spots and at junctions. Just always bear them in mind. They're that bit harder to spot. So take that extra time and make sure you check. We have two stats here in relation to motorcyclists. It shows that most dangerous time for motorcyclists on our roads is during the summer months on Sunday afternoons between 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Look, that's not to say there will be accidents other times too.
Yeah.
And then there's another one saying that speed is a factor in half of all motorcycle road deaths. So please stay within the speed limits and don't become a statistic.
Okay, so in advance of the long weekend, we were told that Gardaí would be out and about and high visibility patrols and what have you. So was it a busy weekend for Donegal Gardaí, Claire?
It was a busy weekend. You could see the roads were very busy and we were out there. So we were out across the whole division over the course of the May Bank Holiday weekend conducting checkpoints, patrols and speed checks. For example, fixed charge penalty notices have been issued for various offences and a number of vehicles were seized over the weekend as well. And we'll just note that there was 4 drink driving related arrests and 4 drug driving related arrests across the division between Friday morning and this morning. So thankfully, we didn't have any fatal road traffic collisions in the division over the course of the May Bank Holiday weekend, but it is still obvious that the road safety message just isn't getting across to some people. It's just not hitting home with them. So we continue to appeal to all drivers to slow down, drive with care, and never drive while under the influence of alcohol or drugs.
Okay. Right. Now, some questions from last week, and I do try from time to time to sort of explain the dash cam side of things, because obviously, as you can imagine, lots and lots of people have dash cams now, and they're invaluable as part of an investigation. And I do try and explain that it's as simple as possible for the dash cam owner. The guards do the heavy work on it. But a caller specifically wanted to ask a number of questions. Can Gardaí explain the request for dash cam footage and how it works? Do they take a clip? Do they take my entire camera footage? Do they take the camera and the SIM card? Do I get it back? Am I compensated for it? So I get, I get the questions.
Oh yeah, look, it's a genuine concern because the person has this for a reason. They don't want to lose it or anything. And look, that's not something you need to worry about at all. So when someone contacts us saying they have dash cam footage, we can arrange a day and a time that suits to download the footage. And it can be done while you wait. We don't need to take it away or anything at all. So each dash cam is different. Some have SD cards, some have internal memory. So it just depends on the actual dash cam. But we download it directly from the internal memory or from the SD card onto a computer, depending on the type of dash cam. And it's very important to know we only download what is required. So we're investigating a particular incident. We're looking for footage in relation to that incident. We're not interested.
Gardaí neither have the time, interest or resources to scan someone who's helping them with dashcam footage looking for something else that might be a bit dodgy, like parking or something. The investigators are focused on one thing, and that is the investigation of the crime or the incident that footage has caught.
Yes, exactly. Like, we appreciate anyone that will come forward with anything that can help us with an investigation. They're helping us, and that's what we're interested in. We don't have any interest in anything else. We don't want to watch you driving to work for the day or anything like that, you know. So it is
just... the time is simply not there, let alone the resources.
What we are investigating, and that's all we're downloading.
Yeah, okay. And I think that in terms of compensation, obviously, firstly, the argument is you're doing a civic duty here. I think what they mean by that is if you were to take the dash cam from them, listen, some of them are hardwired. That's not the business, the guard. You're in. They're just looking for the relevant bit of footage to assist with an investigation. And, you know, if it were you that were involved in an incident, I'm sure you'd be very keen for another member of the public to make it as easy as possible to come up with a resolution. All right, then. Gardaí Claire Rafferty, thanks as always.
Thank you.
All right, good to have you in studio. Thanks so much for that. Gardaí Claire Rafferty there for the Milford Gardaí Station. That was Community Gardaí information for this. I don't have a date in front of me, so I keep having to check my phone. It's the 7th of May. It's back with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday, so stay tuned for that. Maybe you might be able to help. A job site radio was lost off the roof of a car in the Termon area Sunday afternoon. Did you find it? We have a number here for the owner if you did. Not really quite sure what that is. It sounds like it might be a radio that you use on site doing a job. I don't know. But anyway, a job site radio. If you found it, please get in touch with us so we can put it in... back in the arms of its owner. My reference to dumping ground had no reference to the refugees. It's what I think the government thinks. Just dump them as far away from Dublin as possible. Keep Dublin looking normal. We don't want tourists at the capital seeing these eyesores. That's why refugees are being shifted out to Cruxling in the Dublin Mountains, out of sight of the tourists. Okay, thanks for that clarification, and I hope you didn't feel I misrepresented you. It's time more was done about all the empty houses in towns and country. There's no want of houses. There's quite a number of vacant properties in the Inishowen area as well, which you might be aware of. We're going to be discussing that on the programme tomorrow morning. Just wanted to get all our ducks in a row, so to speak. But there is a particular batch of housing in Inishowen that people are looking on going, hello, why is this empty? Reaccommodation for migrants. How many landlords or politicians in accommodating the refugees and migrants and lining their own pockets? Says the listener. Yeah, well, that's a point of view there. Right, okay. Now, for some, they've been waiting all year for this. The semi-finals, the finals. No, we're not talking the FA Cup. We're not talking snooker. We're talking Eurovision. And we're talking Eurovision now with Henry McKean, reporter with News Talk and Highland Radio. Hi, Henry. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Malmo calling. I hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear.
Okay.
How do you always manage to draw this short straw of heading off to far-flung places to watch the Eurovision?
Well, I know it sounds glamorous, but in real life, as you can see, the most glamorous thing, if people are actually online, is the red curtain behind me. I'm absolutely grateful to be here in Sweden. I actually feel like I'm in a Volvo. Sweden is just so Swedish. I've never been to Sweden before, so it's just a fabulous experience to be here and to, I suppose, witness history. It's 50 years since ABBA won with Waterloo all those years ago. Rumour has it that ABBA are going to be performing at the final, or even showing up at the final. And Doomsday Blue is extremely exciting because Ireland could qualify for the first time since 2018 with Bambi Thug, our first non-binary act that we've sent. So they is excited and we are excited.
And, you know, the buckets often don't get it wrong and those in the know don't get it wrong. There is a sense that, that Ireland could be represented in the final, that Bambi Thug has a real chance.
Well, this is it. I mean, I admit that I didn't think we had a chance until I got here. And the momentum has built up around Bambi, the professionalism, how you compare Bambi this year's act to perhaps previous years, and also the superfans. And the superfans are normally in their bubble, and sometimes they also get things wrong. They're saying, yes, Bambi has a chance. But it's the viewers at home. Remember, the Irish can't vote, I think, across the border. In just where you are, but across the border in Derry, yes, they can vote. They can vote tonight for Bambi. A Macroom stroke Swedish, they. And that's another thing. We're still getting used to saying they, but I'm getting there with it. And I think if you do make a mistake, if people later on accidentally say her, that's okay as well. I just sort of correct yourself and keep going. But yeah, no, it's exciting. It really is exciting. And I got into the rehearsals yesterday. The rehearsals look great. That kind of devil worshipping candle ring. I know a lot of your listeners won't like the sound of that. We're celebrating devil worshipping. We're not. She's a witch. We're having fun. She's a blue witch.
How dramatic? I don't know what the right word is. How flamboyant? How demonic? Yeah. I don't know how can you describe Bambi Thug's stage delivery?
Well, they is dressed up as a witch with big fingernails. They broke a fingernail actually during rehearsals yesterday, and they also has a demon, which is a dancer. And it's all about anger. It's all about breakup. It's all about difficult relationships with the world. And then there's a costume reveal. Basically, Bambi strips off to reveal an ancient language, an ancient written language on her body, which we think it translates as peace now. Also, the trans flag will be on these. Wouldn't quite describe it as a bikini, but a kind of sort of not many clothes underneath the clothes look. But the competition is absolutely huge as well. And remember, this is in the backdrop of the Gaza-Israel conflict.
Well, I was going to ask you that because it's not as simple on many different levels, of course. And, you know, There have been calls by some to, and I think the Australians actually really responded quite well to calls for this to be boycotted or Israel to be thrown out of it, saying something along the lines of, you know, if we never took to a stage where there'd been, you know, mass murder or genocide or oppression or what have you, no one would ever take to the stage again. But there's no doubt this is casting a shadow over the competition, or are you getting a sense of that in Sweden?
Yeah, I definitely think Ireland, obviously, and other countries like Spain and Portugal, they are very cross, they're very angry with Israel and with the EBU for letting them continue in the competition. And I did chat with an Israeli journalist, and it was a black carpet, nothing to do with Israel or nothing to do with Bambi, not a red carpet. On the black carpet, the axe wouldn't stop for the Israel journalist, the Israeli journalist. Also, the Israeli delegation are basically locked in their hotel. They can't come out of their hotel because there is a serious security risk, not quite the top risk. I think it's the second top. So there is a risk to them, and that there's also protests planned. They're actually performing on Thursday night. So there are protests planned. And back home, I know, huge criticism for RTE going ahead. Huge criticism that Bambi's talked about, how she's been bullied online, as she says herself. I'm here to report and to basically tell the story. And obviously, I'm staying neutral on it. But there's always politics. Always politics.
There is, and if the truth be told, you know, the reality is that Bambi Thug couldn't live the life they lead in Palestine either. And that's where it becomes incredibly complex. And that's why I think people trying to separate sport and politics and entertainment and politics, because there are so many variables and so many things you can talk about. But anyway, on the stage, Bambi Thug obviously would try, I'd love to emulate Johnny Logan. Johnny Logan, is he performing tonight? There is speculation, it's confirmed.
Johnny Logan is here, and you're right, Johnny is going to be performing later on Euphoria. And also, Johnny Logan did get to meet Bambi, or Bambi got to meet Johnny. So we had Eurovision royalty basically crowning the witch. So that was exciting, and we do hope to have a chat with Johnny a bit later, winning the Eurovision three times and an absolute champion. And when I say three times, I'm including Linda Martin in that because he wrote the song. So, and huge connections with Sweden also. It's the build-up. I mean, it's all about that build-up, and you can feel that momentum going in Bambi's way, which I didn't think that would be the case at all. I thought that we'd crash out, but it looks like that more than likely we are going to qualify, and then there's going to be even bigger build-up for the final on Saturday.
I mean, it's a good song. Like, it's a good track, and
it grows on you. It does grow on you. I give you that. It does definitely grow on you. But remember, the telly voters at home across Europe, there could be up to 500 million people watching. We can't vote, as I said. They might not like the song. They're only hearing it for the first time. But the staging, it's all about the staging.
I liked it. I did like it on its first listen in the selection process.
You know,
I know people... I know people might sort of think that this is a poor representation of Ireland, or this, that, and the other, and we're a Christian country, and we're a lot of things now. I mean, this is theatre. You know, it is, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, no,
the whole competition, it is just absolutely theatre, and you do anything.
That's exactly what it is.
You do anything to stand out. I don't think there's any actual, you know, dodgy messages in there. This is a competition where, you know, we're not talking about all the serious things in the world, and there's an awful lot to get stressed about. It's literally where people go, and it's flamboyant, and it's art, it's entertainment. It's like a painting. You might look at a painting and find it repulsive, but for someone else, it's an absolute work of art, and I think that's where the art side of it comes from. Right, it's going to be really interesting. If my memory serves me correctly, the last time there were calls on Israel to be boycotted, they won the bloody thing. So you just don't know how votes will go, and it'll be interesting to see what the organisers might want. But Henry, listen, we're going to hear some reports from you, of course, on your home station, News Talk, and here in Highland, and enjoy. Go out and see Sweden.
Well, this is it. I've got to remember to enjoy myself. Sometimes you forget to enjoy yourself. And I have a ticket. I have a ticket for later. I am going to the semi-finals. They are like gold dust. Somebody rang me up this morning and said I had a spare ticket. So I'll see it all live. And yeah, no, it's going to be great. And the food's great. The atmosphere's great. But also we have to remember the suffering in Gaza in the back of our minds. And that's not far from anyone right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, thank you very much, Henry. That's Henry McKean chatting to us live from Sweden. And the Eurovision final takes place on Saturday, May 11th. It's at 8 p.m. There's also two semi-finals tonight, May 7th, Thursday, May 9th, both beginning at 8 p.m. It depends on the mood I'm in, whether I watch or not. But do you know what I want to watch it? I want to watch it without people speaking over it, trying to be funny. They're not funny. You know, if you're going to watch it, watch it. But anyway, outside of that, the witticisms and inverted commas and the crack do my head in. I watched it one year on, I think it was on BBC Three, and there was no commentary at all. And you just watch it with the hosts presenting. You know, I think it's really quite ignorant to be speaking over hosts. You know, in other words, the Swedish hosts are so boring that I'm going to try and say something funny over the head of them. That doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, I might not watch it either. It just depends on the mood that I'm in. Caller says, hi, Greg. I've no time for the Eurovision, but my daughter and her friends have faithfully had a Eurovision party every year for these last 15 years. But no, not so this year because of the horrific slaughter in Gaza. And I get that. And, you know, I'm I try and cover all bases as much as possible in talking about, you know, the separation of real world events and what might be art or what might be sport. But as this event is ongoing, like say, for instance, the first Eurovision after the Ukrainian, after Russia went into Ukraine, as Ukraine were report, as Ukraine were singing, the Russians were targeting bombs in the home village of I think the one of the lead singers or what have you. So you can't separate these things out. As Israel takes to the stage, bombs will be being dropped potentially indiscriminately on parts of Rafah, and we can't forget either, can we, those that might be on the receiving end of those bombs made in many points, Britain and the United States. Right, we're joined on the programme now by Sinn Féin spokesperson on finance. That is, of course, Deputy Piers Doherty. Good morning, Piers.
Good morning to you.
In your press release, just to maybe I'm conflating things, in your press release it says sports clubs and local charities will lose thousands of euros in vital fundraising if government fails to address concerns. And a headline in one of the papers today that says sports clubs and charities to be exempt from new gambling ad laws. So has the government moved to address Sinn Féin's concerns?
Yeah, so what's happened is 2 weeks ago when this legislation was brought before the Dáil, I went in and made it very clear that the government had made a mess as a Fianna Fáil minister and that they were going to kill off vital fundraising for local clubs and charities. I used an example of some of the radio bingos on Highland Radio, Ocean FM, which would be illegal under this legislation. I gave examples of how clubs that sell, football clubs that sell 50-50 tickets with prizes above €2,000 is sold around the pitches or maybe in the local shops or, God forbid, the local pubs. That would all be illegal. If you wanted to raffle a car, say St. Union's GA wanted to develop their pitch or something, they got there and they wanted to raffle their car and they took out an ad on social media to non-followers, again, that would be illegal. And you wouldn't be able to have an annual draw within the same period 12 months on, because that would also be illegal. When I made all those points, Greg, 2 weeks ago, the minister tore into me. He talked about trying to make exemptions. He defended the right for what he was doing. He was saying the idea of exempting radio bingos and all that was madness. And then when the bill passed the Dáil, it's already gone through the Dáil, it's now going to the Seanad. He had to acknowledge that there is a problem with the legislation, and he has said that he will bring forward some amendments to deal with this. We have not seen the amendments. He hasn't circulated the amendments. He hasn't said any more than they are going to be exempt. What he actually said to me is we're going to exempt them from the media threshold, which means that the radio bingos could go ahead again, which is really, really good because, for example, Highland deal with the National Council for the Blind, Ocean FM, it's Palace of Care for the Northwest. Yeah, it's hospice, you know, and there's radio bingos all over the place. Like, and these are fundraisers. What we're trying to explain to the government is that fundraising for your local club is completely different to gambling. And what they have done with this bill is they have really made a dog's dinner of it, because when they try to put fundraising and gambling in together, and it is a form of gambling, like we accept that, but when they try to put it together, basically what they're doing is they're going lighter on what really needs to be regulated in terms of the hard gambling from the big companies internationally and domestically that are targeting people over and over and over again. And what they've done then is they've caught up all of these other clubs. So the government have had to come in, and the minister came into the Dáil with his tail between his legs last week and had to acknowledge that what we had said is right. We still don't know how much of it he's going to correct, because the bill has passed the Dáil. So the bill has now passed the Dáil. It's going to go to the Seanad, and we'll see if what type of amendments he brings back in the Seanad. And then it's going to, this is quite unique, those amendments are going to have to come back to the Dáil again.
But Piers,
we're going to keep on fighting.
I get you. But in one of your posts, you were highlighting what this new legislation the impact it might have. And you say prize funds above 10,000 mentioned on radio before 9 p.m. and then a big X, in other words, that was banned. But did your party not back proposals to limit gambling advertisements before 9 p.m.?
yeah, and gambling should be limited. So we shouldn't have the likes of Paddy Power, Betfair, all of those advertising beyond or before 9 p.m. It's from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. The point we're making is that the local fundraiser, my local credit union does a local members draw. It's a car, usually turns Dipper in Letterkenny, usually helps sponsor it. And, you know, it's not for profit and all the rest. The draw takes place on Radio and the Gaeltachta. That will be illegal under this legislation. Your radio bingo will be illegal under this legislation because when the prize fund goes over €10,000, that is not the same as, you know, Paddy Power or Betfair or, you know, Spin and Win advertising on local radios before 9 o'clock. That's the difference. And that's what we're trying to drill through to the government. That's what they're doing is they are catching organizations. Many of these organizations are having to fundraise because the government are leaving them short in the first place, mm-hmm. you know, like the National Council for the Blind, Vision Ireland, like the palliative care and, you know, services for people in the Northwest and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's the problem with the legislation. If he did what we've asked for, which is carve out what's called charity and philanthropic, there's a particular license for a charity and philanthropic purposes, carve out that, do not keep them under the same regulation, and then yes, really, really go hard
you'd want to make sure too, though, that this is not exploited in that, you know, people do a draw and donate €500 to a local sporting club, but make €95,000 themselves. If you get, I know it's a very extreme example, but
you're 100% yeah. right, because that's exactly what happens. Like, I've explained all of this here. Under the current legislation, there are countless lotteries that are taking place in this state, which, you know, I gave examples of them where they're actually prize funds, prizes of €500,000. And they are not captured at all by this legislation because of the definitions that the government have used. I've also given an example of how Paddy Power, for example, could advertise on Highland Radio or on social media to target loads and loads of people as long as they gave the prize fund to actual local charity, so they could get their brand out, they get the awareness out. There's loads of flaws with this legislation, and we asked the government to actually work with us to try and get this legislation right. Because why? Because a lot of the other stuff in the legislation is really important. Mm-hmm. We now have an authority that's going to be set up. We're now going to trying to properly regulate gambling, the type of serious harm that gambling causes. And like Mark Bradshaw is an international rugby player. He's one of these gambling advocates. And he was on national television recently with the minister, and he made the point, he goes, the local fundraiser in Roscommon will have to jump through every single hoops to try and get their little draw to fundraise for their local club. But actually, the big companies are still being led away with a lot because of
I find the lotto is as aggressive as any of them with push notifications and what have you. If you happen to download the app, and also too, whilst we're getting it right, this is about presumably protecting, you know, problem gamblers and what have you, or young people getting involved in gambling. The drinks industry has very cleverly got around an awful lot of this stuff with the 00 brand and the drink aware moniker. So in other words, you know, no booze is to be advertised here, there, or anywhere, but you can see it everywhere because you know it's either, you know, the drink aware or particularly the 00 branding. I think if they're going to do this, it has to be done correctly, that it can't be exploited, or that the holes that will inevitably be there are closed whilst we're actually doing this.
Yeah, and that's, you're 100% right. And, you know, that's exactly what I think all of the Oireachtas wants. Now, nobody wants to ban gambling. You know, like I take a flutter myself on the odd time, and the on the horses once a year or so. And, you know, people gamble and they don't have a problem. But a lot of people do have a problem. And what we do not like is what has developed over the last number of years, which is the targeting of individuals who actually are vulnerable to gambling. So there are positive things in this bill. Let me be clear. There's funds being set up. There's opt-outs being set up. There's all these kind of positive things within this legislation. And that's what we really, really support. That's why we want to work with government on this. Mm-hmm. But the way this bill has gone through at the minute, and it's passed it all, and we still haven't sight of what the government are saying. The government are scrambling. This is going on for years, like this legislation.
Yeah,
and now at the last minute, he's saying we're going to bring in legislation. But there will be, at the minute, the way the bill, which has passed it all of the stuff that I have mentioned to you will be illegal unless these changes.
Yeah, and the government have committed to do that. And, you know, maybe it's not perfect democracy, but maybe that's what democracy, it is democracy to some extent in action, in that something was proposed, yes, rushed through the door. But because of pressure and what have you, the government is heeding that and has committed, and we'll wait and see, because the devil is always in the detail. We'll see.
Exactly. That's our job to point out the flaws.
Well,
that's our job
yeah.
in opposition to point out the flaws in government. And when the government listen and acknowledge, even though it's a bit belated, then we welcome that. But we haven't seen what they're saying, and we're going to continue to put pressure on the government till we actually know that this is not going to crucify charities and the fundraisers across the state. And I've made it clear to the minister, I said it in the Dáil, I'm involved in a group, the Salt Music Festival, which is held in Gweedore. We organise fundraisers. We have a lottery licence through the courts. So we're familiar with this legislation. We're also familiar how other companies, massive companies who are doing this for profit, actually skirt all of the rules. And you know, are competing with local charities and fundraisers. So this legislation is really, really important. But it's really important for a lot of clubs that don't have a clue. And the difference, the one thing I was saying, like, is the FAI and the GAA, they have their annual draw every year. Under this legislation, you will not be able to have your annual draw
as it
within
stands,
16
as it was proposed, passed through the
at least 16 months.
The minister hasn't
given any commitment to change that, which means that you will not be able to have your annual draw every September. And this is, again, just one of the small flaws within this legislation.
Right, okay. Well, hopefully they'll be ironed out. A caller wants to know, maybe it's specific, you don't know the answer off the top of your head, Facebook competitions. There's a few of them, high-profile ones out there. Does that kind of stuff fall under this legislation, they want to ask?
Yes, it does, and that's the competitions that we run ourselves as part of the festival. So that's a lottery license. You have to go to the court to get a lottery license. And you, if your prize fund currently, if your prize fund is more than €5,000 per week, the only people who can get a lottery license for that is your a charity or a philanthropic body. A philanthropic body means it has to be not for profit. You will notice that loads of these competitions exist. They exist for two reasons. One is, and they're able to avoid the legislation, they're able to do it for two reasons. One is they have to offer you a free entry. And the second is they ask you a question, so like how many days in the week, and that allows them to skirt through the legislation. The problem is the government's legislation that they are defining at the minute exactly leaves the same loophole in place. And this is another point that we pointed out to them, that companies will be able to skirt through this legislation and say that we're not a lottery, because when a lottery is defined by entering into a game of chance with a payment, if you offer a free entry, therefore, even though very few people take these free entries, see all these lotteries, Greg, that are online. You can win a house in Spain, or you can win a combine harvester. Mm. There's loads of them on Facebook. Every single one of them offers a free entry. Most people don't take it because it's just easier to click the button, pay £20 or €20, Apple Pay on your phone, and they do it. But the only way they are able to operate legally is by offering.
And it's interesting because in Britain, that's actually quite, it's more obvious, it's made more obvious. But I actually wasn't aware that was the case in this country at all. But there you go. Okay, that's what the legislation's for. Hopefully it pleases all and it's the right thing moving forward. Pierce, thanks for your time this morning. That's Deputy Pierce Doherty. Now back to some callers here. A caller says he took the car for an NCT last week, and it states on the website that if there is a child's car seat in the car, that it would be reconnected properly, in this case by the car seat. Caller says he discovered today that the car seat was not connected properly to the car. Such a dangerous way for a seat to be left. Tester disconnected the seat and did not reconnect it and said nothing about it. Now, I thought, because when I've done it, I thought the car seat had to be taken out. I thought the back seats had to be clear completely. I wasn't aware that you could get the car NCT'd with the car seat in it. They are kind of fiddly. I mean, it's something I would check. I would, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, it's my child and I'd want to check it myself. But I take your point. I'm not criticising you, but it's just I'd want to double check myself anyway, which I'm sure you did actually, which is how you noticed it wasn't correctly put back in. As I say, maybe it's my ignorance. I always took that stuff out because I thought they had to get access to the seat belts and stuff. Just want to put it out there. If a family of four, all with severe disabilities, approved for a council house, that doesn't meet their needs. Can they be punished for not taking it? So worried sick since receiving the letter. Thank you, Highland. Yeah, now, there are some criteria in there if you refuse a council house. Now, every year they publish statistics or publish information as to why people refused it, because there was no place for my motorbike, you know, stuff like that, silly things. I'm not sure where what the situation is if a house is refused because people have severe disability and the house doesn't, you know, meet their needs. I'm not sure if that's held against you. But if someone's out there, maybe someone who's worked with this in the local authority, a councillor or what have you, maybe can help us. That's a family very anxious that maybe they are disadvantaged now.